So, people are obviously aware of the concept of Yerusha in Halacha, and from the Sukkim in Pinchas of the Seder Havoros Nachlois, son, daughter, etc., etc. But there are certain areas within Yerusha that are far less clear. One of those is Yerusha of intangible objects, things that are not mamashi, things that you can't hold or touch or feel. The question is, what are the dini Yerusha as they apply to that? So the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat writes, the Ramah in fact, says, Ein ha-yershim yershim dvorim she'ein bahem mamash. You cannot pass on in a Yerusha things which are intangible. Oy teves hano ba'alma she'ein mamash. Or something which is teves hano. And the Shlo therefore writes that somebody who has already separated Meister money, has already set it aside to be given to Meister, he should see to be mechalikit mechayim. He should make sure that he distributes it while he is still alive, because if he dies, since he no longer owns that money, it's already been set aside for Meister, the only bailus he has over it is teves hano, that he decides who is the recipient of this Meister, and that will not pass over to his children b'Yerusha. He will not be able to give that over to somebody else, because it's teves hano, as the Shulchan Aruch paskens. The Ktzos adds that what will you do? What happens in such a case where the person dies having been mafresh meister? What happens to it? So he says, gives two, so to speak, options. The imkein yerushim trichim litim la'oni hanimtzor rishay. They literally have to give it to the first oni they come across. They have to give him this meister, all of it. They come to shul, they put all the money down, they say, you know, whoever is an oni can take it, because they have the bailus over it. The shach, however, says that it's not, he disagrees with the Ramah. He says, if it is in the rishus of the father when he is nifta, then the yerushim would still have the right to be mafresh it as they see fit. And the Nesivus proves this from, he quotes a Rashba, that if somebody were to sell their house, but they were to sell it and retain bailus over the avir, over the air, on top of the roof of the house. Those days, the roofs were often flat, and you could build quite easily on it, and you didn't need to go through the council. So, if somebody were to sell their house but retain ownership of the air, and the sale would go through, if the person who owned the air were to die, says the Nesivus, "V'chiyale al hadas the kashemes shloyu a yershim yershim." Is there any havamina that avir can't pass on to the children? Which means that if it's in his bailus, it's not quite true to say in all cases that they cannot be yerish something which is ein boi mamash. Therefore, there is a difference of opinion between the Ramah and the Shach, and eventually between the Ktzos and the Sivus, as to exactly how far we apply the rule of Yerusha to intangible objects. What about Rabbonus? So it would appear that this falls squarely into this category of something which is ein boi mamash. We're not talking about, for instance, somebody who is Rosh Hashiva and he also owns the building. If he owns the Moshed itself, then there is Gashmius and Ruchmius together. Then there's something there which is yesh boi mamash. That's a different story. But in a case where it is purely a position, a gabbai tzedakah, a rov, a rosh yeshiva, what happens in that case? It would appear that it should follow the same lines. except that there is a Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. Rambam writes that u'me'achar she'moshchem ha'melech harei ze'ezoich eloi levolav ad'olam, that once the Malchei Yehuda, once they were anointed as the king, they own the Malchus, so to speak. It belongs to this Melech and to his sons ad'olam. And then he says, and it goes through v'kol ha'kodim b'nachlo kodim l'Yerusha. It goes through the exact order that it would in terms of inheritance, in the sense that if there's an older brother and a younger brother, the older brother gets it first, etc. And then the Rambam adds, v'loi ha'malchus bilvad. It's not only the monarchy, it's not only Malchus. Elo kol ha'shroros v'chol ha'minuyim shebi Yisrael. Any position of authority and any appointment shebi Yisrael, Yerusha Libnoi Uleben Benoi Ad Olam. It goes be Yerusha. Even though it's intangible, it goes be Yerusha Mitam Malchus Vuhu. And he adds, as long as Shia Haben Mamale Mokim Avoisov Bachochmo Uvira. But has to be that the son is at least a Mamale, a substitute Bachochmo Uvira, wisdom and knowledge, which obviously is going to be a very difficult call to make. How exactly do you judge that? And then the Rambam adds, which is interesting, that the Rambam then qualifies the previous line, Hoyo Mamale B'Yira Afal Pi She'ena Mamale B'Chochma. What happens if the son is an adequate replacement in terms of Yira Shemayim, but not in terms of Chochma? Mamidim oise b'mokim oviv u'melamdin oise. It appears that Rambam holds that chokhma you can acquire, but yira is a much harder job, and therefore he can be a mamale mokim even if he is a replacement in terms of yira alone. So from this it would appear that the opposite of what we have thought, that Rabbonus is different. It goes down b'Yerusha, say a Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea also paskins that way, that kol zman shemamalim mokim avisein b'yira v'hem chachomim k'tzas. That's b'Yerusha. Although he adds, obviously, you can draw up a contract. V'mokim sheesh minag l'kabel rav al zman k'tzas. If the minag amokim is that you only take a rav for a particular amount of time, oishem minag livchor b'misha yirtzu. Or the way it works is that each time there's a vacancy, the choice is given to the kehillah or to whatever it is, the anhola, then harushus biyodam. Obviously, it can be qualified, but in the absence of any conditions being made, it would appear to go biyerusha. Fine. So, tukhazi, let's see how actually these things unfolded in terms of the Matthias. What used to happen? Clearly, in the times of the Tanoim, we have many cases where it went from father to son. Especially so, if you look towards the very end of the first parak of Pirkei Avos, where it goes from Hillel through the family, through Shimon Gamliel, to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, to Shimon Gamliel again, etc., all the way through till the middle of the 4th century, it is done from father to son. So it would appear there that they were faithful to what would later be the Psak of the Rambam. However, with the exception of the 4th century, it's not clear that the reason they are doing it is Mitam Yerusha. It could be that they were the most qualified. It could be that they were, we don't have enough information to be able to make a judgment call as to why Rav Shimon ben Gamliel took over from Rav Gamliel. Quite possibly he was the best candidate for the job. Similarly, in the times of the Goinim, even though we find that this took place, we have inadequate information to be able to know that the reason it was being done is because they were following Hilchos Nachlis. When we get to the Rishonim, especially amongst the Chachmei Ashkenaz, we find often the exact opposite. In a similar manner to the Ha'orah that the Ramah pointed out, they used to be makbid not to pass over the Rabbonus B'Yerusha. And the reason for this was so to speak, logistical. The towns in Ashkenaz, the amount of Ashkenazim in total was a lot smaller than most people presume. It was in the low tens of thousands, and generally they'd be living in smaller towns in smaller numbers. And if the Rav were to be part of the fabric of the Kehillah for a long time, he would end up being related to most of the town, and he would not be able to serve as a dayan, which was his main function. And therefore, they used to import Rabbonim, and they used to often make a clause that it does not go down via Yerusha. Otherwise, they'd be hampering their own ability for their Rav to carry out what he needed to do. In the 18th century, in the 1700s, this began to change, especially amongst the Chachmei Ashkenaz. One of the reasons was because by then the Jews were settled in Holocaust in Poland and Lithuania, and also because the non-Jewish rulers used to get more involved in the affairs of the Jews. They used to have a yud in deciding who will be the Rav, sometimes because the Jews themselves went to the authorities to decide these things, which was always a stupid idea. But this happened, which was one of the reasons that that things became far more fluid. And also because positions in the Rabbonus became purchasable. You could buy a Rabbonus. And this led to quite a number of arguments, of disputes. Ironically, in the 1700s, this was confined to the Litvische Welt, because in the Hasidische Welt, for the first 100 years of their existence, the leadership did not pass, virtually across the board, did not pass from father to son or within the family, but it went from Rebbe to Talmud, whether it's the Mezritch Magid or the Naaman of Elech or the Chayza or Simcha Bunim, as Yotzat is today. It did not go from within the family, it wasn't a dynasty, until the 1800s. So in the 1700s, that was not something that the Hasidim had to contend with. It was in the Litvaks who had this more as an issue. In fact, there was a machlekes in Vilna while the Gaon was there. The Gaon was not the Rav in Vilna. And the person who was the Rav in Vilna wanted to buy a Rabbonus somewhere else, and he was actually opposed by the Gaon, and it made an enormous machlokes there because of this concept as to whether it should go down by Yerusha or how exactly Rabbonus passes on. By the time you get to the 1800s, so in Hungary and in Poland, it was pretty much established that it went down by Yerusha. And Galician Poland, of all places, had the biggest machlokes as a result of this. If you look through the Truvas of the Divrei Chaim, or the Avnei Nezer, or especially the Shoilem Eshiv, you will see they had their hands full deciding issues of Rabbonus passing on to the next candidate. The Shoilem Eshiv writes of one case where the Almona of the Rav refused to allow her husband to be buried until the Kehillah promised that her son would take over. Hagam, her son, was not Royulakach. And they had to promise, and they wrote to the Shoilem Eshiv saying, are we now bound by this, by the word that we gave? And he said, Mechatesa, you were forced into it, and therefore it's not binding. But it became very much the norm for a Rabbonus to be Yerusha. And the question, of course, was how we define minimally Yira. And according to the Ramah seems to add this to the Rambam, Chachomim Ktsas. This was not always easy to define, as you can well imagine. Comes along the Chassam Sofer. Now, the Chassam Sofer lived in the early parts of the 19th century, died in 1839. And in his case, interestingly, he was the Rav in Preshburg. His son, the Ksav Sofer, took over from him, his son took over from him, his son took over from him, so it went, grada, there, the Yerusha. But that was not the Chassam Sofer's own psak on the matter. This is not what he felt people should do. At the very beginning of Erech Chaim, the Chassam Sofer has two tshuvas, where he writes about how exactly Rabbonus should pass through from one to the next. He was approached about a Rabbonus in a particular place, and he was asked by the of Bezdin of Munkach and another Talmud Chacham, who wrote in their Shaila to him, they wrote that the Ki Hadin Poshet B'Shas U'Barambam the Hadin in Haben. That, from their perspective, it's obvious that Yerusha is a that Rabbonus is a Yerusha. And of course the Chassam Sofer quotes the Rambam, and then he says, but not so fast, I mean it's a long tshuva, but the he picks out a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara there says that there's a pasuk in the Torah that tells us that the Kohen Gadol who dies, it passes over to his son B'Yerusha. So he asks, why do you need a pasuk? If you've already included this minui, this appointment, as part of all the general appointments that exist in Klal Yisrael, it should be no different to a Gabbai Tzedakah or a Dayan or anything else which is part of Yerusha. Why do you need a separate pasuk? So he says, Muchach Mizeh. From here, therefore, it becomes clear. Gelein nema din zeh, that we only apply the din of Yerusha and the psak of the Rambam in Malchus, in a case of Malchus, Ukadena, where there is some authority, there is Sharora involved in what they're doing. It's not simply a position, but it's one that comes with authority at the same time. Avol kol minui kedusha, but any appointment, excuse me, that is one of it's to a certain extent honorary, or even if it is a position with real responsibilities to it, but they are not responsibilities of authority. So even if it's a position where they teach Torah, that would not pass B'Yerusha. And he quotes the Marashdam and a Rashba that kol minui ha-Torah v'Rabbonis einoi B'Yerusha, that any position which does not come at the same time as authority, that's not B'Yerusha. And then he says, obviously, if the Tzibur is maskim to take the son, even if the reason is that Sharotzim Lasis Nachas Ruach L'Rabbam, the reason they've decided to take the son is because the memory of the father, right? Umshum de Islei Zchus Ovois, and therefore he has some Zchus Ovois, then Pshita, that's obvious, that's perfectly acceptable. The reason they've decided to accept the father, the son, after the father was Nifta, even though mitzad dina Yerusha, if it's an appointment of Kedusha, the son does not have an automatic qualification, but if they've decided that's what they want to do, matovu malayim, no problem. And he says, uke'es raya ani raya achreina gedolim mikulam, brings a very beautiful raya to what he's saying. From the Torah, from Parshas Pinchas, on the pasuk Yifkei de Elokei HaRuchos, when Moshe is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help find a leader after him, the Medrash says Shehayah Moshe Savor Shebonav Yerushim Mekaymai. Moshe hoped, wanted one of his sons to take over his position. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him, no, it's not like Moshe Atta Savor, it's not as you think, it's true that they are your sons, but nevertheless, Harvei Sharoscha Yeshua has, as we know, he was Masharis, he was the person who served Moshe faithfully, And therefore, Neitzah Te'ena Yoichel Peres. Yeshua is going to take over from you, not one of your sons. Says the Chasam Sofer. Moshe Rabbeinu has just spelled out the qualifications to become the next leader. It has to be somebody, Asher Yetzeh Lifneim, Vasher Yovoi Lifneim, Vasher Yochel Lamed Neged Ruach Kol Echod Ve'Echod. He's already told HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the next leader needs to be somebody who is really a Bar Hochi. And he still hoped that his son would take the position, which means that his son must have had these qualities. Otherwise he wouldn't have bothered. Otherwise there wouldn't have been a Havamina. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Loik Moshe Atosavu. Which means that even though his sons, the Chaira, were a Mamali Mokoim, a Vada Beyira, and a Chochma Ktsaf, that did not qualify them. And therefore he says, you've got a Raya from the Torah that Rabbonus, which is a Minu Kedusha, which does not have the authority or the responsibility with it, does not pass down Beyerusha, and he finishes, Vizer Raya Brura Lafi Aneath Daiti. That's what he says in Truva Yud Beis. In the next Truva, in Yud Gimel, he says as follows. Also, it's a slightly longer Truva, not as long as the previous one. And he says, Kushta Ka Amina, tell you the truth. Ki ad hayem azeh kvar bo lefanai eizem maistim b'inyan zeh v'hoiresi alocha lemaisa sha'en kadima leben. A number of these questions have come my way. And until now, I have always paskened, there's ein kadima leben. It's not part of Teres Yerusha. Because minu rabbona shaltera hefkahu omnom hayom chazarti, he says, today I have been chozer, not totally, but I would like to be mekayim divrei ramah. I'd like to fit in the ramah, because to some, you know, avik machna ramah, I don't feel comfortable with. And he differentiates. He says as follows: ein nosi haTorah bizman chazal was just an appointment of Kedusha. And therefore the fact that it went down from Hillel through his family, it was an appointment of Kedusha. And hence, it's not Beyerusha. And the reason, therefore, the fact that we find people being Yerush the positions is because of qualification. Ach achshav, that he is meshubed lekol lasis tzarchem, that a rov, a shtots rov, is actually meshubed to the killer, and at the same time has authority, that would qualify a rov to pass down the position as a Yerusha. Because now we're talking about something that is not, so to speak, just a title, it carries with it real responsibility. And therefore, it's simple. There is a chiluk between the olden days and today, says the Chasam Sofer. Today, a Rav has responsibilities that they never used to have, and therefore, it would go down to Yerusha. Okay. Says the Shevet HaLevi, that's not so poshut. He says as follows, Uve'inyan etzem chazokas haben, the idea that a ben, a child, a son, has a chazoka. I mean, interestingly, of course, there's a whole shaila whether the daughter would have the Yerusha. Would a son-in-law be Yerush? Do we say that only when the daughter is able to be Yerush, because she herself can have that thing, that she can pass it on to her husband, in which case a son-in-law could not be Yerush? Does it not take normal din of nachlis? Or do we say that it's a Yerusha? To whoever is qualified. Either way, he says, if the reasoning that it passes down Beyerusha is because Rabbonus nowadays is a Shtots Rabbonus and it carries with it responsibility and Achrayus and Shrara, he says that's not Poshut, because that was okay in the time of the Chasam Sofer. Sheniskablu HaRabbonim Meho'ir, there was a role for the city. And it was a shibud godel. And therefore, it could pass down Beyerusha. However, nowadays, einay muchrach klal shetafkidei ha'ir munochim olam. Nowadays, where do we have the concept of a person being the rov of a town? And therefore, who says, mi yemar, that according to the Chasam Sofer, we would pass these things down b'Yerusha, because it goes back to being a minui kedusha, even though he says that his job is laharbit Torah, lahoyres la'am, lidroish la'erer. But that's not shorah. That's not what the Chassam Sofer had in mind. And therefore, if that's the reasoning of it, the Hechatesa nowadays it would go down b'Yerusha. However, the Shemot Levi adds, Omnom kolzeh tzrachon, we only need all this, according to Moran HaChassam Sofer, she'ein minu Teir Yerusha. We actually paskin like Rav HaPoskim that, as the Rambam says, it's a Dovah Poshut, it goes to Yerusha, and we're not machalik between Kedusha and Sharara. Right? So we see that this is very much a difference of opinion amongst the Achronim as to how we would go, which way we would paskin. And then he says, what about the Chassam Sofer's Raya about his own son and Yeshua? He says, you can't prove it from there. Why? He says, because Yeshua had a job which nobody in Klal Yisrael has had ever since, and therefore he needed to be perfectly qualified. He had to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and he was Rishon Shel Matikei Shmua Shel Kol HaTorah. He was the link in Torah between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, Sofer Nistoros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was the only one able to find somebody who was shy to this particular job. You can't compare it to a normal Rabbonus. Yeshua had a job to do which no one else had. Memela, you can't compare. Which leaves this, Petzorachin, leaves this, that at least there are two ways of looking at a Yerusha when it is Kedusha, when there is no specific Sharara involved. There's one last parallel thing to say on the matter, which I found in the Sefer Birkas Kohen from Rav Deutsch, who was the Magachir in Kol Torah. And he says as follows. The Rambam says that it goes down the Yerusha loy ulevomav hazacharim, goes down through the male side, which is mashma that the sons of daughters, grandsons who are grandsons mikoyach their mother, not mikoyach their father, will not be Yerush. So the Avnei Nezer asks the following question. Avnei Nezer, in his whole, he has a Sheish Milus, he has a long piece on Yerusha of Rabbanus. He asks the following question. The Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi got the Nasius because he was from Beis David, but from a daughter of David HaMelech, which shows that Yerusha does go through the daughter, not just through the son. Which seems to be in contradiction to the Psak of the Rambam. It says it's only Bonov HaZchorim. So he answers as follows. In Parashas Vayechi, from which we take the concept of Malchus, there's a famous pasuk which we know, Lo Yosur Shevet Miyehuda Mechoykek Mibein Raglov. There are two aspects there. Shevet Miyehuda Mechoykek Mibein Raglov. The Gemara in the beginning of the first Perek of Sanhedrin says that Shevet, Lo Yosur Shevet Miyehuda, refers to the Reish Gelusa. Because, as the Gemara says, and Rashi amplifies, they have got Shrara. Lo Yosur Shevet Miyehuda refers to the Reish Gelusa because they have got power and authority. As opposed to the Mechaykek, the Mechaykek, they are the people who teach Torah, and they are the Nasiim. Which means that when it comes to Malchus, to power, to authority, to Shevet, that has to be through Bonov HaZchorim. But when it comes to the Nasius, as long as it's Mibein Raglov, as long as it's a descendant, irrespective whether it's a descendant mitzad ha'aim or mitzad ha'av, as long as it's Mibein Raglov, they can inherit the position, because there's a difference between authority and a minui of Kedusha, making the same difference as the Chassam Sofer made, although with a different application. The Yaris Dvash adds one last thing to this. He says, Gemara Brachas tells us that when they took away the Nasius from Reb Gamliel, they gave it to Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So the Yaris Dvash asks, Reb Elazar ben Azariah is a Kohen. How could you take away the Nasius from the whole house of Yehuda? Here we're not talking not from the father, not from the mother. How does it work? So he says as follows. All Kehanim are descendants of Aaron. Aaron was married to Elisheva, who was the sister of Nachshon ben Aminadov, who was therefore from Shevet Yehuda. Which means that every Kohen is descendant mitzad ha'aim from Yehuda. And since we're talking here about Rabbi Gamliel being the Nasi, we've just proven how Nasius can go over even if the Yichus to Yehuda is only from the mother, not the father. Therefore, Dafka, they could give it to Reb Elazar ben Azariah because he was a descendant from Yehuda, even though he was only a descendant mitzad ha'aim.